Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We may find often in our lives that it's easier to pray, or perhaps that we are more likely to pray in times of difficulty, when we're reminded by that difficulty, by pain or sorrow, sadness, challenge, setback, that we can't make it on our own, that by relying on ourselves, on our wisdom, our strength, our ability, we would simply be without hope, without a way into the future. We may find ourselves less likely to pray when things are going well, although of course we should give thanks to God when that is the case, but so often we tend to take for granted the things that are going well and only realize how much of a blessing so many things in our lives are. Our mind, our abilities, the way that our bodies work so well most of the time, we so often take for granted and don't give thanks to God or praise Him for those blessings. But really we know, especially as we see so often in God's Word, that prayer should not be like a light switch that we just turn it on when we need it and then we forget about it when we feel like we don't need it. Prayer shouldn't be like an aspirin or a Tylenol that we take it when we have a headache or some other pain in our body, but when we no longer have that pain, well, then we don't use it. We forget about it. No, prayer is that talk with God that we really need for every single moment of our lives. Just as we need breath every moment of every day, so also we, as believers in God, need prayer as a constant part of our lives. And so we see in the first verse of our reading that Jesus tells the parable that we meditate on from Luke chapter 18 so that we might always pray and not lose heart. And so as we look at this parable, we think about it with the words, pray persistently, trusting in God's promises. And the parable, as we read, is very simple and yet very profound. Jesus tells us the parable in this way. He tells about a judge in a town who did not fear God and did not even care for other people. He was a person who cared only about himself and his status. He was a selfish person. He wanted to make his own work and his own life the easiest possible. He wasn't really concerned at all about the needs or circumstances of other people's lives. And then Jesus tells about another person in that town. Her circumstances were very different. She was a widow. She had no one to defend her. Her husband had died. And seemingly she also had no other close family, at least, who cared about her enough to speak on her behalf in that public court. If she were like the other widows of her day, she would have been wholly dependent on others for her support. And now we read that she has a problem. She has an adversary. And it doesn't say exactly what the circumstances were. Perhaps it was someone who was bringing a lawsuit against her, or perhaps someone who had taken advantage of her and her rather helpless, defenseless situation in some way. And so her only recourse was to go to a judge and to ask the judge to rule on the circumstances of her case. And she was confident that the ruling would come in her favor. But unfortunately, that judge to whom she went showed no concern for her, did not fear God, did not care about other people. But she pleaded with him again and again, "Give me justice against my adversary." Now, perhaps the judge looked at her and saw that she was poor, that she had nothing to offer him. Maybe he was hoping for some kind of bribe to give a favorable ruling in the case. Perhaps there were just other more important cases for more important people of higher social standing. And so he felt that he wouldn't really gain anything relationally by spending his time or by giving this widow a favorable ruling in her petition. So What would be the use of doing it? And so, again and again, he refused her request for assistance. But the widow would not take no as the final answer. She continually pleaded with him. And we read that it bothered him. And he did not want to be bothered by her continual pleading, yet because she kept coming again and again, making her request, he finally agreed to help her, not because of love and concern for her and her defenseless position and the wrong that had been done to her. No, it was only because he thought more of himself, and he did not want to be bothered by her. Yes, truly, again, as the text says, he did not fear God, the God who had given him, out of love, that position of power to help that downtrodden widow. And he did not care about her either, whom he should have loved as himself, as God calls us to love our neighbor as ourself. And yet, ultimately, he did answer her request. He did help her because of her continual pleading. And so, that's where Jesus makes the application. Not that God is like that unjust judge, no, but the emphasis on the persistent pleading, the persistent prayer. And so, in verses 6 through 8 of the reading, Jesus says, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. Will not God give justice to his chosen ones who are crying out to him day and night? Will he put off helping them? I tell you, he will give them justice quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Notice the comparison that Jesus is presenting to us. The widow in the parable is the sinner. She is like you and me. She had nothing to offer that unjust judge. Nothing that would convince the unjust judge to help her. No bribe that she could give him. No social standing that she could cash in return for a favorable hearing. But all she had was her pleadings and her prayers. And so also you and I, as humble beggars, sinners before our God, have nothing to offer God that would make him want to answer our prayers because of how good we are, because we can give him something that will be of benefit to him. No, we are sinners who have constantly disobeyed him and his will. We are in his debt. We deserve punishment from him for our sins. And so that should make him not want to hear us, not want to answer our prayers. And as we mentioned earlier, we so often pray only in the time of need, about trouble or sickness or distress, instead of talking to him constantly, including giving him thanks when things are going well, thanks for all his blessings, glorifying him and praising him. And so he could say to us, "You think I'm only good enough for you in the hour of need, but at other times you forget all about me." But he does not. He does not neglect to hear our prayers. Why is that? Well, that's because he is different, fundamentally different, than the unjust judge in the parable. Whereas the unjust judge in the parable did not fear God or care about people, and he only helped that widow in order to get rid of her so that she would stop bothering him, our God is totally different. He is a God of love and mercy, a God who looks with compassion, with true care on all those who call upon him. He does not deal with us as our sins deserve or punish us according to our iniquities, but through Jesus our Savior, who paid for all of our sins by his innocent death on the cross, by his innocent life's blood that he shed in our place in payment for all of our sins. Therefore, God is a God of love and mercy toward us for Jesus' sake, a God who through Jesus, because of Jesus, bids us, calls on us to call upon him in the day of trouble. And he promises that he will deliver us. And in response to his deliverance, we will honor and glorify him. He is the God who says to us, even to us sinful people, keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Keep knocking, and it shall be opened unto you. For he who asks will receive, and he who seeks will find, and to him who knocks, it will be opened unto him. He is a God who will defend and help us when we pray to him persistently in full faith in Jesus our Savior. Our wonderful God, whom we approach in the hour of need, is such a marvelous God who further reveals his concern for us so that even while we are still sinners, he still cares for us. He sent his own Son, Jesus, to live and die for us, to live a perfect life in our place, obeying all of God's commandments, not only outwardly, but inwardly in the attitude and thoughts of his heart and mind as well. And our Savior Jesus, who died for us, who willingly took our punishment upon himself, the punishment that we deserve for our sins, so that we would be spared the eternal damnation that we deserve in hell for our sins. That is love beyond all measure. The parable also points to another facet of God's love. Remember the words, "Will not God give justice to his chosen ones who are crying out to him day and night? Will he put them off?" No. The answer, of course, is no. He will not put us off. He will not delay answering our prayers. He will not delay in giving us justice. God considers those who cry out to him day and night not as people who are bothering him, as that unjust judge scornfully looked at the widow who was calling out to him. No, God cares for us as his chosen people, as his dearly loved sons and daughters, as those that he has adopted into his own family through the washing of baptism, through the gift of faith in Jesus as our Savior. God keeps us firm in faith in him, firmly in our place as his sons and daughters in faith in Jesus through his word, as he continues to feed and strengthen and grow us in our faith in him. He's given us joy through the living presence of the body and blood of his Son in the Lord's Supper. God has chosen us from before the foundation of the world, before he even began to create the world and the universe. He chose us. He looked forward in history and he planned all the events of history so that you and I would hear the message of his love through Jesus and would come to faith in Jesus as our Savior and so be with him for all eternity. He has given us the command, also in the words of the Apostle Peter, to pray without ceasing, pray continually, pray persistently. He is our loving Father in heaven who has taught us to pray to him as our Father in heaven. And he has said to us through his Son Jesus that because he is our Father, will he give us a stone when we ask for bread? Will he give us a scorpion if we ask for a fish for food to eat? Never. He is a Father who will recognize himself as our Father, who promises always to treat us as a loving Father, and who will give us what we truly need according to his will because we are his beloved children through Jesus our Savior. But that brings us to another challenging point, because I'm sure that you have had the experience in prayer that the things that you have prayed for have not always immediately been given to you by God. He does not always give us everything that we ask for whenever we ask for it. But he wants us to continue to persist in praying to him. He delights to hear the voice of his children speak to him in confident faith and to tell him of our needs. He's like a human father or mother. A parent loves to have their son or daughter tell them of their needs. It grows and it strengthens that relationship. It makes the child more dependent on the parent, and so it is with God our Father. He wants us to call upon him constantly. He wants us to call upon him persistently. He wants us, as the apostle said, to be constant in prayer. He desires us, as Jesus said, to always pray. And when we pray like that in full confidence and faith through Jesus, he will be true to his promise that whatever we ask the Father in Jesus' name, he will give it to us. Yes, maybe not always in the way that we are thinking of, but he perfects our prayers so that he gives us exactly what we need, if not always what we want. He bears with us patiently, bringing us closer to him in faith with the ultimate goal, his ultimate goal, of bringing us to be with him forever in heaven so that we are not separated from him forever in hell because of our unbelief and sin. And there's another reason that God wants us to pray persistently. And that's because if we only pray in the time of distress or sickness or trouble, well, then we are using God and his name kind of like an aspirin, a pain reliever, or a firefighter, or a troubleshooter whom we only call or we only make use of when we truly have need, and then we don't often think about at other times. But that is not the kind of God that we should make out of the one true God. No, he is a God who constantly wants to be our Father today, tomorrow, and forever. He wants all the time to have a close and personal and intimate loving relationship with us as father and child. He wants us to realize that we truly do need him every moment of our lives, not just at those times when we are feeling trouble or distress or sadness or sickness, but all the time, because we don't know when our last day will come. He says it so clearly at the close of our reading. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And here Jesus points us to the fact that we must pray persistently because none of us knows when God will come to take us to heaven. In addition, none of us knows when the Son of Man, Jesus, will come to destroy the earth on Judgment Day and to take us before his judgment seat. So if we truly recognize him as our Father and know that he recognizes us as his children, shouldn't we then have such a faith that we'll call on him at all times, not only in good times, but also in challenging times, not only in times of sickness, but also in times of health, not only in the hour of sin or temptation, but also in the hour of forgiveness, not only in our youth, but also in old age, not only in life, but also at the time of death. Yes, he bids us to pray continually, persistently, and not to give up, not to lose heart, not to grow weary, because he wants us to be the child who confidently asks our Heavenly Father continually. He wants us to pray continually so that if the end of our life comes suddenly or the end of the world, Judgment Day comes without a clear warning on that day, as Jesus warns that it could come as a thief in the night when we least expect it, then at that time, by his grace, we will still be found full of faith, so that then he may answer our final prayer, Lord, take me to be with you forever. And so, dear Christian, with such a loving Father, shouldn't we pray unceasingly, constantly, continually, persistently? Pray then as Jesus commanded you to pray. Always pray, and do not lose heart. Pray that you may be found with a living and active faith that if Jesus comes at any moment in your life, He will find you praying in faith to him as your Savior. Amen.